This is your bonus miles. Here's Autumn. Let's go!
Hey, hey, guys. It's your girl, Autumn Miles, coming to you again from NRB, which is a big conference for people in media. And we are here with an amazing guest. I can't believe I'm sitting in front of her. It's kind of weird. She is Mary, the mother of Jesus from The Chosen. Guys, I'm literally sitting in front of Mary. It's so crazy. It's very weird. But her actual name, that's who she plays. Her actual name is Vanessa Benavente. I hope I said, did I say that right?
Yes.
Yeah, sort of.
She's like, close it.
Sure.
I love it.
And we're going to have a conversation with her just about her work with The Chosen. I know a lot of you guys are obsessed with The Chosen. Everyone's binged it. Everybody knows all the things. But I'm right here with Mary today. So welcome to the show, Vanessa.
Thank you so much.
I am so glad that you are here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I want to know all the things. Like, everybody wants to know about you guys. I actually visited the set a few years ago and was able to tour and sit in a scene and stuff like that. And it was, like, fascinating to me what you guys do on a regular basis. You weren't there, but there was a lot of other people there.
Yes.
And since then, I feel like that was maybe season one.
Oh, wow.
And I think, I mean, it has gone gangbusters.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is worldwide, national, crazy, and you get to be a part of it.
I know.
How does that feel?
I feel like I'm one of the Avengers. I seriously do.
Mary, the mother of Jesus. You are better than an Avenger.
The OG Avenger.
You totally are.
Probably not. But it's wild. And I mean that in a funny way. I feel like one of the Avengers. But because it's so like...
I felt like that was very appropriate.
Well, because, you know, they have this worldwide fame and everywhere they go, people know their work and they've seen the movie. And I feel like that's what The Chosen is right now. It's everywhere we go, someone goes like, oh my gosh, I've heard so many great things about this show. And it's such a we started in such a small way that it's always so surprising that more and more people come up to you and talk wonders about the show.
You have such a pivotal role as Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, I'm sure anyone who's seen it knows who you are. At least they know your face. Everyone probably thinks that they know exactly who you are. Yes. They know, they can recognize you. And what a great segue into talking about Jesus and talking about, you know, the Lord.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. So you've been given such a cool calling this side of heaven. I'm so super excited about it. Okay. I want to know how all this started. How did you get the role of Mary? What were they looking for? Like, I want to know that backstory because that's really interesting, you know, to know for me.
Yes. Well, my story is actually a little boring. This is what every actor in Hollywood does. We go on auditions and we read for a role and our representatives, you know, they pitch us for parts and then casting calls us. And if we're lucky enough to get casting to call us, because that's, you know, that's already a win.
Yes.
Right there. Then you go in and read and, you know, you show them your take on the character and they say yay or nay. And that's basically what happened. And when I read the audition, I remember saying like, oh, Mary. Oh, yeah. Okay. I know Mary. And then I read...
I got this.
I got this. I read the scene and I was like, wait, who, Mary? Mary. Okay, Mary. And because the scene I read was one of the scenes from season one, from episode 5, from the wedding at Cana. And she was talking to this friend of hers and she was cracking jokes and, you know, talking in such a fresh, new way. And I thought, oh, wow. Okay. This is exciting. This is a new way of seeing this woman who we've seen in so many, you know, for so many years, we all think we know her. And at least for me, it was so eye-opening to see how she had a life like everybody else in this world has had. Mm-hmm. You know, she had a friend it's true that these were humans. And I just fell in love with the part and I was like, okay, well, let's hope I get it. And
it's more so relatable.
Yes.
I think you think of Mary and, you know, we've all, you know, out of Luke, the story of her getting pregnant with Jesus and all that kind of stuff. And then you kind of don't really hear anything about her until the wedding.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden she's there and she's kind of telling Jesus what to do and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it's very interesting how relatable, you know, you've made her. I mean, I hate to even call her like a character because she was like a real person.
I always say character and then I kind of backtrack, this person, this woman.
She's so revered.
But it's the same thing happened to me, because every time I kind of thought of Mary was in this very iconic ways, you know, the birth, the crucifixion.
Yes.
I didn't even like factor in the wedding at Cana, because every time you see Mary portrayed or an image of her, she's in a very vulnerable, emotional place. Yeah. And that's all you think she was.
Yeah, birth and death.
Exactly.
Those are really emotional.
You know, going through very emotional moments, like you say, you know, your child was just killed and or was just born, you know, height of emotion. And so you don't stop and realize, oh, she must have had moments of levity as well. Yes. She must have laughed. She must have, you know, gone and smelled roses or picked lavender.
Cooked
or
dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
Normal things.
Exactly.
So tell me what it's like working on the set of The Chosen. How is that? And what is your favorite part of working on the set and doing what you get to do?
I mean, just doing what we get to do. Period. Working in this industry, period, is always amazing. Getting to work in a show like this with, you know, this family that we've, you know, created, we all have such respect and admiration and love for each other. It really is my happy place. So, yes, it's a very happy experience.
So we talked a little bit offline. You're a mother yourself. Mm-hmm. So has that helped you play this role to kind of pull into some of those motherly emotions?
Personally, yes. I mean, I can't talk for every actor. I know having children has changed dramatically how I view these things. It just it hits me in a different place. Mm. I mean, I remember reading that scene that I also got to audition with, that very, very first scene where Mary's looking for Jesus. She hasn't seen him in 3 days.
Yes.
And
I was going to talk about that next.
Before, you know, you can imagine what a mother must be going through looking for a child.
Yeah.
When I'm telling you this, I am getting
she goosebumps. She has goosebumps, you guys, right now.
It's happening. It hits me in such a visceral way, the fact that a mother hasn't seen her child in 3 days.
3 days?
3 days. I mean, goosebumps all over.
And they didn't have, like, the police to call. Like,
exactly.
What do you do? Just tell your...
Quite the opposite, because, you know, if the Romans were to find out that he was a stray child, maybe they would take him in or do something to him. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't
goodness.
Know. I don't know what could have been going through her head for 3 days. I wouldn't have slept.
But also, so that scene, he's not looking for you. You're looking for him. Like, the other day, I was with my son, and he lost sight of me for 5 seconds, and he's crying.
Of course.
Because he's like, Mom, I thought you left me. I'm like, I'm literally standing by the apples and you're by the onions, like at Target.
Poor thing.
But he was looking for me.
Uh-huh.
And in that scene, you're looking for him. He's not looking for you.
Exactly.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, because, you know, I don't know what's happening and he feels safe. So, but I think...
He feels safe.
Yes, exactly. Because, you know, he's doing...
He's God.
Exactly.
He's Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I remember preparing for that scene going...
And that's what I want to talk about. How do you prepare?
Well, I kind of torture myself.
I mean, that's the only way I can describe it, really.
It's very healthy, but I torture myself. No, I really put a lot of my own person in this. So I try to make it as personal as possible. I think when you do that, you get very specific and people really see something real.
Mm.
And so I try as much as possible to put myself in her shoes which is almost impossible because, I mean, this is a first century woman. I have no idea what that could have been. I can research until the cows come home, but, I you know, it's hard for me to grasp something like this. But I try to imagine, I try to put as much as what I would know about a situation like that into the scene, and then yeah, and go from there.
Do you have input into the scene, like from your perspective? I mean, I know the script's written and stuff like that, but do you ever interject your own, like, what if we did it like this or something like that?
Look, I haven't done that a lot, but I know other people in the cast that have, and Dallas is always very open to listening to things. I always listen to him also because I feel like
he's got such a vision.
Yes,
obviously,
and knowledge about the script and about what he wants to achieve. Mm-hmm. And so far, I trust him with my life. I jump, and I know he's gonna catch me, and it's gonna look amazing. Mm. I remember in the first season, I was coming in this scene, kind of doing something, and he was like, I want you to remember you looking for Jesus in that scene and that mama bear quality that you had and that feeling. Try to put a little bit of that in here. And I thought, wow, yes, of course, because this is not a vulnerable woman. This is not the idea I had of Mary, you know, crying over her son. This is mama bear. This is someone who has had to fight. Has had so many things coming at her, and she has triumphed. So this is who I have to portray. And it really, it blew the lid wide open for me.
It's so vivid. It's so interesting to hear you talk about just what you think through to even achieve, obviously, the product that everyone else is watching and seeing. It's so beautiful. I love that this is just so relatable. I feel like everyone that I talk to that has seen the show or talks about the show or whatever, they look at their relationship with Jesus and even with Mary and stuff like that in a completely different way. They see Mary different, just like we were just talking about. Did you ever think it was going to be like this worldwide sensation?
No. I mean,
I know there was big plans and big dreams.
And I think it's almost like a no-brainer because you think, well, it's a well-made show about the life of Jesus, and it has it's bound to have an audience.
Yeah.
And so why wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. But so many projects that, you know, start up like this and you think, oh, well, this is a great idea. Who hasn't thought of, why has anyone thought of it before? And then if nobody's watching, then that's it. That's the end of the road. But the cool thing about this is that because the show is free, I think it really has opened the possibilities for more people to watch and more people to be touched by it. And because it's good, because it's so good and so relatable and so human and so amazing, then people really respond to it.
I think it shows a part of Jesus that he is, but we, for some reason, we don't connect. We think he is God. We're putting him on a shelf. Like people that have never become believers or anything like that, it makes him approachable so that they can develop their own relationship with the Lord. Okay, share something with us memorable that happened, maybe not on screen, but maybe off screen.
Well,
that was like,
personally,
wow.
Personally, it has to be filming while pregnant. That I think takes a cake. Having to run to Jesus while 7 months pregnant in those sandals with those rocks around. I was like, oh my gosh, I really hope I don't fall. But that's on a very personal note. I think I underestimated how much a baby can really take away from your concentration. I was forgetting lines. I'm like, well, this has never happened to me. But I think with the cast, I just love when we have big scenes with all the cast because they're always so lovely and it's so much fun to hang out with them.
You can tell you guys are having fun for sure.
Yes.
Well, good. Okay. So are you working on anything other than The Chosen that you'd like to tell us about?
Well,
I mean, I know you're an actress.
At the moment, yes. Okay. I am
I'm sure that takes a lot of your time.
Yeah. My baby's 9 months old. So I'm taking a breather for now. Maybe later. Maybe later I'll go back and say, hey. Hey, industry. What else you got for me?
Hello. Here
I'm still
I am.
Here.
It's like on your sheet, putting Mary, the mother of Jesus. Can't be a bad thing, right?
Exactly.
She played, resume. Oh, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Yes, we should hire her. I love that. Thank you so much for coming and just having like just a normal conversation.
Oh,
Mary, the mother of Jesus or Vanessa.
You make it so easy, Autumn. Thank you
much. I loved this. I know this is going to be a special treat for everyone to just have a conversation with you. So thank you for coming. Thank you for all that the work that you're doing and how well and how relatable.
Oh,
I just keep going back to that. How relatable you are as a mom, you know, being able to see myself and your emotions and stuff like that. I mean, that's a really big deal.
Thank
you.
So
thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. Hey guys, it is your girl back with you again. I just never stop coming back, do I? With someone that I think is going to be a treat for you. Okay. He just told me his real name, but I will not share it with you.
Oh,
it is highly
thank
exclusive.
This is confidential
and
information.
I would not want it to get out. But this is Brandon Potter, you guys. And he plays none other than Quintus in The Chosen. He's the salty one. He's the one with a little bit of an edge. And he's here with us to talk all about The Chosen. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm having a good day here in sunny Orlando.
We are at NRB, the National Religious Broadcasting Conference. So if you hear background noise, that's exactly why. We're excited to have you here.
I'm excited
Chosen,
to be here.
This is a worldwide sensation. Like, this is unbelievable what has happened with this show.
Yep.
How did you get this role as Quintus?
It's sort of a trippy story because, I was living in Dallas when production started, and I think that they already had someone in mind to play Quintus, an actor from L.A., and the local casting director said, well, you should see this guy. And I read the script, and I was working on some other project, doing another shoot, and I could not put the script down between takes. I fell in love with it just kind of immediately. The writing is so airtight, the characters are so well drawn, I just like the tone of it, even.
Yeah.
So I went to this audition. I thought, well, this is going to be a fun audition because this is actually a script that I like, right? And as soon as I walked in the door, you know, Dallas Jenkins, the show's creator and director, he came up to me and he said, well, look, okay, so right now we've got this kind of like lazy, grape-eating, detached Roman guy, and I just don't think I want to do that. Can we do something else?
Okay.
And I thought, wow, he's asking my opinion instead of, you know, go dance, meet puppet, like a lot of directors do.
Yeah.
And so I was immediately taken with that, you know, that he wanted my honest creative input, which I thought was just kind of a gift already. You know, you go to a lot of auditions, and this actually felt like acting. So I said, well, what if he's just really good at his job? What if he's good at his job and he likes it? Mm. And he said, okay, let's play with that. So he said, here we play, which is what he says instead of action, which also I was really taken with that. And we just played, you know. I left that audition thinking, like, well, I don't know if I got the part or not, but I know that I had a really good day. And I know that Dallas Jenkins is going places, and I'm happy I got to meet him and work with him. So I felt sort of satisfied with that day's work already. And then to get the part later was nice. But, you know, Quintus shoots like 3 or 4 days a season. So I didn't even know if I was going to be back after season one. I shot for maybe like 3 days, 4 days, something like that. And I was like, okay, that's nice. And it's going through an app, I guess. I don't know. Because that's how we started, right?
Right.
It was just on the app. I mean, now you can watch The Chosen on Netflix and Amazon and Peacock. And obviously the app is still the best way to do it. But its reach is so broad now. But at the time, it wasn't that at all. It was this sort of newfangled thing. It was all crowdfunded. So I had no idea. And for it to have blown up the way that it has been, I don't know if surprised is the right word, because I think that we made something good.
Yeah.
You know? But I guess I'm humbled by it every day, you know, to be a part of something so big.
It's kind of crazy because I remember the early days. I was just talking. I went to this. I mean, it was like brand new. And people started talking about this idea of bringing the story of Jesus to everyone in a relatable way. Yeah. And I remember just hearing about The Chosen. I was like, that is really interesting, because I think that's one of the big disconnects between the world and Jesus, that he just didn't seem that relatable. And Dallas Jenkins, your cat, the cast, has packaged it in such a way that it's tangible. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, he's like, I can reach out. He can be a friend of mine, or I have a friend like Quintus.
Sorry for you. That sounds terrible. Run.
Tell me about the reaction to the fans of the show, or the followers. What do you even call them? I don't even know what to call them in this regard, because it's a
show
about
Jesus. So it's fans. Yeah.
What is your reaction when they see you and they, you know, I mean, Jesus is such a pivotal figure, mm-hmm. God.
Yeah.
This is a big, I mean, this is playing into people's souls.
Yep.
So when you meet someone that's like, wow, you're on the show, what does that reaction feel like? And do you feel the weight of that mantle that you guys are carrying?
Well, so I think my answer might be different than my castmates. You know, people go up to Jordan, who plays little James, just beautifully, and they want to share these kind of emotional moments from their life. Or they'll go up to Jonathan and talk about these important experiences that they had. They don't do that with me, right? They usually just sort of like shake their fist.
Really?
You know what I mean? Oh, why?
They have a reaction.
You. You know, the villain everyone loves to hate, you know? So I get kind of a different reaction than the rest of my castmates, but...
But you get a reaction.
But that's important.
Yeah.
It's important because, like you said, you know, these stories weren't relatable. And to include, to be able to drill down into people's lives and get... real humans, a variety of humans in intimate detail. That's what makes it relatable.
Yeah.
So it's not just the heavy Son of God stuff. Mm-hmm. It's the little people stuff too. It's these intimate details of relationships or workplace rivals or however you want to couch any of these little human things that we cover in the show that people can relate to now. Mm-hmm. So although I don't get the big weepy reactions, I do get the plug in from humanity. Right, because it's not just the Son of God stuff. It's this jerk who's, you know, got
but
this wit.
But everyone has a jerk.
And, right, that's
everyone
exactly right.
And everyone has to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, would you say his personality is like yours? Are you literally see? That's what's interesting, because we've been able to talk to you a little bit, and I'm like, I could totally see that, not in like a bad way.
yeah, you always bring yourself. You know, you always bring yourself, and you try to understand even someone that I think Quintus is.
I think you're more people's favorite character than you think. I really think people enjoy you.
I'm glad that they enjoy.
Mike, my producer, is sitting here with his arms up in the air. People enjoy you. They enjoy that edge.
Much like I was telling Michael, the producer, earlier. Before you start saying that Quintus is your favorite character, keep in mind that Jesus is a character in the show, too. So just... before you say it out loud, just reevaluate and make sure that you really want to say that.
Yeah. I love that so much. Okay, so you're on this worldwide sensation, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anyone that I know that hasn't heard of The Chosen, watched The Chosen, or have been affected by it, okay? You're on this worldwide sensation. What is your most favorite so far point when you guys have filmed and you're like, wow, that was like a moment? Tell me something that not everybody knows, that not everyone sees on the screen.
There's lots of moments. So maybe I'll like touch on two or three.
Give me two or three.
So the first was, I always knew that this production was different from other productions, especially like the sort of big movie machine
productions.
Because
you've done a lot. I mean,
I've done some stuff, yeah.
You're a very successful actor.
So, you know, on a lot of those sets, it can feel impersonal because people are showing up to do a job and then they leave and go to the next job, right? And I knew that this set was different already. People were invested in this thing. They believe in it. They cared about each other, you know? Mm-hmm. One time, it was in season two, and I have this scene with Jonathan, and we just sit at a table and talk. But we sit at a table and talk for a long time. It's maybe 6 or 7 minutes, which is rare in TV. You don't really do that. You don't really sit and talk for that much in TV. But that's what this scene is. And that scene had to be pushed to shoot earlier, right? I didn't have enough time to prepare because of there were scheduling issues, and maybe it was during the pandemic, mm-hmm. right? So there were just scheduling issues. And I remember doing the rehearsal, and everyone, all the department heads were there. And in my mind, I was thinking, like, oh, everyone's here to see if this messes up and their day is ruined and then they have to scramble. I was sort of thinking cynically about it, you know, that way. And then as the day wore on, I realized they weren't there because they thought things were going to go awry. They were there to help. They were there to give everyone from all of the other departments everything that they could possibly need to make this day that was not scheduled happen and happen well.
Wow.
So that we could actually create this art and treat it with the reverence that we should. It's hard to explain the difference between those two feelings, the ugh, this is all going to go wrong, and I'm here to help.
To help.
You know, yeah. It was a beautiful moment that I'll carry with me for forever, and I hope to bring that kind of energy into all the projects
wow.
that I work on. The other one, this is sort of crazy, and I don't exactly know how to explain it. I was doing a scene with a bunch of extras, background actors, and I walked on set, and I said, oh, how are the extras? This is their first day, because they all look so happy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, their first day on set, how are they doing? And I said, this isn't their first day on set. They've been here for a week. And I thought, oh, that's just how deep the good vibes run, you know, on the set. Because background work is incredibly challenging. It's long days. You have to stand for hours on end. Mm-hmm. For this stuff, we were having to kind of push against each other and really make physical contact. That can grind a person's mood down real fast.
Mm.
But it didn't. Because, again, they believed in the story that they were telling. They were good to one another. They, all these logistics and creative sensibilities and interpersonal relationships are all sort of in harmony in a really, really beautiful way.
It sounds like it's a healthy place to work.
I think so.
And a healthy place to be around.
I have a good time every time I go to set.
That is amazing. Okay. So you're playing Quintus on The Chosen with Jesus.
Yeah.
What is challenging about that?
Challenging about?
About playing a role that's depicted from the Bible.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know. I want to get you back to that mantle. It just seems like a heavy mantle to me.
I think it is for my castmates. I'm not sure that it is for me, and partly because all of their characters are in the Bible. So there's scholarly literature, there's the Bible itself.
Right. I talked to Mary this morning.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I was like, how do you do that?
Well, Quintus is not in the Bible. He's the made-up character in the whole show. So the challenge, say my castmates might look to this material to research, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really have that opportunity. The only material I have is the script itself.
Yeah.
The challenge is picking something and zooming in so close that it gives you useful artistic information.
Mm.
Like, my name is Quintus. That means five. That means he's a fifth son. That means he didn't inherit this title. That means he worked for it.
Mm.
Right? So I know things about that from a little tiny scrap of information. The challenge, I would say, is looking at it so closely and zooming in so close that you are able to draw something that activates you and excites you as an actor.
Mm. And that's where the art comes in.
Yeah. And in terms of, like, the heaviness of it, it would be impossible to walk on set every day and be like, all right, we're getting that billionth viewer today. Like, that would not be a good way to start a work day.
I mean, it's not like a regular play. It's like, this is just heavy.
It's not a regular play. And it is heavy. But you walk in every day and you say, what scene am I doing today? I'm going to give my scene partner everything. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to think about how big the story
you
is.
About it.
You can't think about it. Otherwise, you'll fall off the bike. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta just look at what's in front of you and work.
Okay.
And I think the entire cast has done a remarkable job of that. When I see them working on set, I don't see them acting for that billionth viewer. I see them acting for their scene partners.
Mm.
And that's beautiful to watch.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Who came up with the grape eating? Was that you?
There was...
We have to know.
Some of the best was olive eating is my favorite bit of on-set eating. And that was me. That was me. And I'll tell you a secret about the olive
eating.
Well,
it's obviously memorable. I mean, it's a memorable trait.
Here's some insider baseball.
Yeah, see, that's what we want to know.
So, in order to eat an olive and pit it while you're talking and punctuate lines, what I had to do was store a pit in my mouth and then eat an olive that was already pitted.
Okay.
So that I could put the olive in my mouth and then chew it. And then right when I needed to punctuate the line, the first story I ever heard about you, ding, was about fish, you know? So you have to sort of choreograph this olive pit spitting thing, you know? And for a second, when I was asking, I was like, I need one pitted and one not pitted. For a second, the props department was like, you are being insane, you know? But then when they saw it work, they're like, get a bucket of pitted olives and get a bucket of unpitted olives.
Yeah,
this is
so good.
We have to do this. Yeah, keep doing this. Keep them coming, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, those are the traits I think that people relate to,
yeah.
You know, as out there as they are, they're memorable,
yeah.
And they make your character what everybody loves about you.
Well, I hope so.
Okay, so what's going to go on in season 4? Give us
the scoop.
Okay,
I'm going to give
you
all the spoilers, except
the
I'm not.
See, that's very Quintus of you. Why would you do that?
I am what I am.
As he puts an olive in his mouth and spits
ding.
Out a pit. It was awesome to talk to you.
Hey.
You're exactly what I expected you to be.
In a good way, I hope.
Yes, definitely in a good way. You guys, didn't you guys love this today? I know that you did. I know we'll hear from you. Thanks for listening today. Thank you so much for being on the show. You can catch me next week right here on the Autumn Miles Show. See you guys soon.
Let's go! That was your Bonus Miles. To find out more, go to autumnmiles.com.